Receiving information from a product's manufacturer can be quite interesting, but getting an impartial evaluation of the product from users of the product can be even more useful. Dave Williams and Martin Roberts of the UK have put together a comprehensive list of frequently asked questions, with of course the answers as well, about the HAL screen reader, made by Dolphin Systems. Martin and Dave join me now from the UK to talk about the HAL screen reader FAQ. Well, welcome to the program, both of you. Can I start with you, Dave, and before we talk about the specifics of what you both are up to, let's talk about HAL. Why HAL? It doesn't seem to have quite as high a profile as some of the other screen readers. Is that undeserved, do you think?
I think it probably is a little bit undeserved. I suppose, arguably, my sort of primary reason for using HAL is I was brought up on it, really. I started using HAL in DOS when I was about 12 or something, you know, about 10, 12 years ago. And it just seemed like a natural sort of step forward to go into Windows and try, you know, the same sort of branded product in Windows that I'd always been familiar with in HAL. So I think it was just the sort of the product familiarity from my point of view initially, although since I have, you know, experimented with the other screen readers.
How about you, Martin? What keeps you with HAL, or got you into HAL in the first place?
What got me into HAL? The same reasons as David, really, but keeping me with HAL, responsiveness and stability, they're the two main reasons. I don't think anything else can touch it.
That's interesting. Why do you think that the profile of other screen readers, particularly in the US, is a bit higher than... I mean, is it simply an American thing? I mean, everybody talks about HAL in the UK, don't they?
Well, that's right. It's one of the main readers, I would guess, along with JAWS. But I think in the US, Dolphin have only just set up, maybe 2 years ago, their offices, so it hasn't been getting the advertising, the marketing behind it.
And also, I think in the US, I don't know how much truth in this, but there is in this, but I've heard the theory expounded that there's some sort of cozy relationship with the rehab people and some of the manufacturers. Now, obviously, you know, I wouldn't want to be quoted on that, and I don't know if that is the truth. That's pure sort of speculation and sort of on my regard. Certainly, with regard to sticking with HAL, my reasons would be the same as Martin's, the stability and sort of the responsiveness of the product. To me, they are second to none, although it isn't as powerful as the big two in terms of its sort of flexibility, you know, hooked areas and the internet and various bits and pieces. So it is limited in that regard. But then, as I advocate quite strongly in the work I do, I don't necessarily think it's which screen reader you use. I think it's how well you know your screen reader. And if you're intimately familiar with the intricacies of the, you know, the sort of command structure of your screen reader and how to make it read the bits of the screen that you want it to read, then I think you can get on fine.
Can either of you go through some of the particularly outstanding features of HAL as you perceive them?
The fact that you can throw HAL at just about any application, and you can get that application talking. I mean, to me, the off-screen model that HAL uses is probably one of the best. I'm familiar with WindowEye as well as HAL, and if I'm going to use a new application with a screen reader, I always try HAL first, because I believe it can. I mean, for example, I've been using a tool called Copernic that you reviewed in the summer. I've been using that for years, and I was using that with HAL when people from other or another mailing list were saying it wouldn't work with their screen reader.
That's the thing, I think, Jonathan, that it's not so much features with HAL. It's more a case of sort of flexibility in terms of the range of products. You know, you tend to find with a lot of the screen readers these days, you know, you need the script file, you need the set file. You know, HAL, out of the box, at almost anything, okay, it's not perfect much of the time, but it will talk, which, as we know as blind people, any speech is better than no speech.
So can you, Martin, expand on your comment about the off-screen model and exploring new applications? Because obviously that's a big thing for a lot of people listening to this program who I suppose are more inclined to go to the net, download a piece of shareware for which there is no screen reader configuration, and just give it a shot. How would the results that you get from HAL, say, differ from the results you would get with WindowEye, for example?
Well, for example, if you have certain menus or list boxes coming up, HAL's more likely to speak those than something that has to be reclassed to speak with the menu or list box. That's basically it. Generally, it's more responsive because there are no configuration files written for applications as yet, although there is configurability within the product to a certain degree at the moment, I believe that's due to be increased, but there is no, there are no application set files or script written. It just works generally out of the box. I use many pieces of shareware and all sorts of things off the internet, and they just work.
Internet access is something that you've both alluded to, and Dave made the comment that he didn't think it was quite as good as what he called the big two. Why is that? Is there less implementation of MSAA, for instance, in HAL?
That's right. That's absolutely right. That the MSAA certainly, it's only something that Dolphin have recently introduced with HAL 4.04, and the implementation that they have at the moment is very basic, and it only provides sort of automatic, speaking of the alt tags on bitmaps and the tooltips on various buttons in SoundForge and other products. It doesn't have the sort of the flexibility that Window Eyes and Jaws now have, where you can cursor down a web page. And some people, you know, having never used a web page without being able to cursor down it, may find that, you know, initially daunting. So perhaps for a new user, HAL is a little bit more challenging in that respect, although we are promised a more extensive implementation of MSAA in version 5.0.
I must say that Dolphin have been improving the web accessibility. I mean, version 4.04 was a free update, which included the new MSAA capabilities. They've also improved the web page access as far as edit boxes and controls go on pages. And I believe they've got things planned for the future. So the web, you know, they are taking it seriously, because basically if they don't, they'll fall way behind.
Yeah, the internet now certainly seems to be the main battleground, doesn't it, on which the screen readers seem to, you know, rival each other. And I think, having spoken to Dolphin on a number of occasions about this, because I use the web quite extensively, they certainly are aware of it. And I think hopefully within the next 12 months, certainly we should see some good stuff from Dolphin.
Yeah, your comment about the internet being the main battleground kind of echoes something that I was saying to someone we interviewed earlier in this week's show, where I was saying that really there seem to be two tests that people like to put their screen readers through. One is the web, and the other one is to see how well a screen reader works in Microsoft Word. Can you comment about HAL's access in Word?
Martin, you've played a lot with tables, etc. Did you want to...
HAL's access in Word, it's very snappy. HAL has a feature called column detection mode, which you can use to read tables easier. It doesn't have the automatic echoing of cell coordinates as yours does, but the column detection mode does give it an advantage over Window Eyes in that area. I've never really had any problems in Word with HAL. There are certain things that you need to do, as you do with Window Eyes, turn off one or two toolbars, etc. I believe that Jaws does all that automatically. I could be wrong in that regard, but it works fine as far as I'm concerned.
There are certain features in HAL that intrigue me, such as there's a lot of quite easy to enable support for colour information, etc., to be spoken.
That's very useful in navigation mode in certain applications. It's very handy on the web, for example. You may wish... HAL doesn't say links, so many often links are displayed in a certain colour. So as you tap through the page, it will announce the colour as you're moving through. That can be very handy.
I think Dolphin's approach is to make HAL a screen reader in the truest sense, in that it literally reads the screen. So it wouldn't say something like a link on a web page, because the word L-I-N-K, you know, isn't displayed in on the screen there. So in order to have links automatically read out, you would have to configure HAL to read an attribute change, which on the vast majority of web pages, links are denoted by some sort of attribute change, whether that be underlined or a different color or some description.
Now, that's a very important point that you make, because a purist has said, a number of purists have said over the years, that what a number of screen readers are now doing is actually an inappropriate diversion from the task of reading the screen, because what they're actually reading on web pages these days is the HTML and rendering it in a user-friendly way rather than reading what's on the screen.
That's right, and with the MSAA, this business of cursoring down a web page, this is something that I've thought a lot about and wondered, you know, should would I want this in HAL or not? Because the Internet Explorer browser doesn't have a cursor that you move up and down the web page. A sighted person pressing the lower cursor key in Internet Explorer, the page is scrolled up a few lines. It's you know, you're not moved down line by line. So in some ways, the Window Eyes and JFW approach is artificial in some ways.
We should remember, too, that I think Arctic Technologies was the first to introduce this sort of thing with its web pilot feature in WinVision. But you don't think that it's actually worth making those kind of purist sacrifices, Dave, because it makes a blind user more efficient, more comfortable with the web?
I think the difficulty comes, where do you draw the line? That is my question, because the problem I find, when I contact any kind of technical support department, as soon as they find out you have a screen reader on your system, or if you've got speech, straight away they think it's a non-standard application, and so it's obviously that is causing the problems, when in most cases it's not. So it seems to me, where do you draw the line? If the speech is telling you something that isn't actually visually displayed on the screen, and you say to your tech support guy, "Oh yeah, it says home link," and you know you're new to the internet and you don't appreciate that the home actually is a link, and the tech support says, "Well, on my screen it just says home," you know, and you could spend 30 seconds talking about that, which to me seems completely unnecessary. It might be a bit of a pedantic extreme example, but I hope you know what I mean.
It's also true that, I mean, it moves it slightly on, but when certain screen readers introduce commands to minimize all applications on the system, which are already available in Windows, and they give them their own functions, you know, their own keys, that to me is interfering with Windows. I don't want my screen reader to interfere with Windows. If I know people who work in tech support, and if they would say to their users, "Oh, you need to press insert whatever to minimize all applications," the users would not have a clue what they were talking about, because they'd be sighted, and that would be the screen reader doing a job that really you can do from Windows.
Yeah,
I think the menu is a good example that Martin pointed out to me, and I didn't even realize that the JFW does this. When you bring up many menus with JFW, it automatically selects an item for you, whereas the default state in Windows, sort of pure Windows, the menu just appears, no item is selected by default, and then you would then move, well, the sighted user would move the mouse, or you could use the cursors to then move on to the menu and select an item. So it is a difficult one, and there are no clear-cut answers, and I certainly don't claim to have them. However, I think it's nice to have the choice that, you know, that JAWS and Window Eyes have obviously, you know, seen fit to get more intimate with Windows, if you will, in terms of slightly modifying the interface, like the cursoring through lines on a web page, in order to make it more accessible. And HAL hasn't as yet. Now, we may see HAL falling in line with JAWS and Window Eyes. I expect we probably will.
I don't think they'll have a choice. I think they will have to.
Because people have come to expect that level of accessibility, you know, particularly a new user now. They don't sort of want to be bothering with a navigation cursor just to read a plain page of text. You know, they just want to cursor down it.
Well, you do raise a point that I've been well aware of moderating a technology-related list, which is that you get people giving advice to screen reader users, which is very much based on the screen reader that they're using, and actually will not work if someone's using a competitive product, simply because there seems to be now such a merging of the interfaces between the application and the screen reader that often you can't tell anymore where the screen reader interface stops and the application interface begins.
I think you've hit the nail bang on the head there. I think that's absolutely just it, and you certainly put it more eloquently than we did. It's almost like, if you're using a different screen reader, you're using a different sort of version of Windows, almost a different release of Windows, because of the interface, the difference in the way you perform certain tasks with the various screen readers, and that's very difficult from anybody who is trying to give general sort of tech support to, you know, to somebody who could be using any of, you know, half a dozen different screen readers which are out there.
Speaking of technical support, what's tech support like for the Dolphin products?
Compared to other manufacturers, it's very good.
I've never had a question to use it, so I couldn't honestly say. I've never had call to to use the technical support with the Dolphin products. But then that's because I'm sort of one of these types that I will sit there and I'll plug away at it and read the text files and reread the text files and go above and play with it and then probably go and post and ask a question, which I suppose eventually brings us around to the HAL FAQ. Arguably, if Dolphin's technical support was good enough and if their documentation was good enough, that would have negated the need for HAL FAQ. So,
well, that's precisely where I was leading, actually, because we had a situation where a Jaws for Windows email list was started by a bloke in Australia because Hunter Joyce wouldn't, despite repeated requests, start a list. And I just wondered whether there was some sort of story behind how you guys got into the HAL FAQ that you both maintain.
Basically, I decided that there were certain questions that weren't covered in the HAL manual. When they released version 3, the manual was good. When it came to version 4,
can I just take a step back a bit there, Martin? I was just going to say, well, originally we stumbled across this site at magnifier.org,
www.magnifiers.
Is it Magnifier or Magnifiers?
Magnifiers.
Magnifiers.org. And this is a page, I think it's set up by users, that offers sort of breaking news and resources for users of magnification software, and it's an absolutely tremendous site. I mean, I don't primarily use a sort of magnification software. I generally sort of use the speech more, but for anybody who is low vision, who uses Luna or Zoom Text or any of the sort of competing products, I highly recommend you go there. And this is a marvelous site. We stumbled across this about the middle of last year, and we thought, well, wouldn't it be fantastic, you know, if we could have something similar for screen reader users, you know, and cover sort of WinBridge, Jaws, WinEyes, you know, the Simply Talker thing and the HAL and, you know, any of us that you care to mention, wouldn't it be fantastic? You know, we had these grand plans, so we were quite I suppose our heads were swelling at the prospect that we could do this, and so we went off and we registered a domain and everything, and we got all quite excited. And then when we actually sat down and started to do it, we realized how much time and commitment and work is actually involved in doing something like that and keeping up to date. That is, you know, that's the biggest problem with any website, keeping it up to date. That it's so easy to put something up and go, there we go, we've done a website, but of course 3 months down the line things have changed and you need to do stuff to it. So we had to sort of revise our thinking, and then it was about that sort of time, about a year ago I suppose, that Martin really sort of picked up this idea that there were questions that people repeatedly asked about HAL that didn't seem to be answered in a sort of a clear way in the documentation, which I suppose in all fairness, the documentation isn't HAL's strongest point, and you know I'm not going to tell you it's good when personally I don't think it is. I think it could be better. So Martin, did you want to take it up from there?
Okay, basically I did a list of questions and answers and posted them out on the HAL users list, and Dave saw these and picked up the idea we'd had previously that we scaled it down, and he and his girlfriend put the HTML together, reworked the order of the questions,
and tried to put it in some sort of structured sort of fashion.
And
so, well, yeah, we've got this domain. Let's use it, and so let's make it the home of the HAL frequently asked questions. And
that's www.thescreenreader.org.uk.
Well, we can add that in at the end. The idea really, I mean, Martin had come up with these sort of lists of random questions that seem to have been asked over and over again over the last sort of few months, and he sort of put down the questions and the answers. There must have been about 20 of these questions, and it was literally just in the form of an email, a posting really, to the Dolphin sort of users list, and this is a list run by the users for the users. Dolphin take an interest in the list, but they don't moderate it in any way, and they certainly don't run it. What's the guy called? Emil, I think, runs it. But, so sort of Gail and I had a look at this and thought, well, you know, he spelled that wrong. And we could reformat that, and we could probably put these questions together over here and then these questions together over here to try and get a
picky
bit of
sort of stuff.
Structure to it. Sorry?
Picky sort of stuff.
But to make it more like a frequently asked questions document than a posting to a mailing list, this was the idea. So we came up and we had the version 1.0, you know, beta of the HAL FAQ, you know, and I think we told people that this was available initially before we sort of uploaded this, you know, and we had people sort of writing to us saying, can we have a copy of that, you know, and so we were mailing it out to people out of our sort of own sort of personal email boxes, you know, and then it gets to a stage where it gets out of hand. You know, you don't mind sort of one or two a day, but then it does get out of hand. So we thought, well, we'd stick it in HTML, we'll have a zip version and a plain text version, and put it there on the web, and then people can access it. So we launched the website, thescreenreader.org.uk, and that was in July of this year.
And what can people find on that website besides the HAL FAQ?
That is pretty much it at the moment. That was the plan. As I say, we severely scaled down our original project, you know, which was to do this sort of this screen reader, all things you're dancing, all things for people, which we realised obviously was an unrealistic sort of goal, really. And so we've got a HTML version of the FAQ. We've got a zip version there which you can download. And we've got a plain text version. Now, the HAL FAQ is very well indexed, and it's logically arranged into questions about HAL, questions about various synthesizers you can use with HAL, sort of common sort of other related questions like, you know, what does HAL mean, you know, and the thing about the movie 2001 and that it was a computer that that had some kind of psychosis.
We're going to mention the Supernova, which is Dolphin's other products.
Yeah, I mean,
HAL and a screen magnification tool called Luna into one integrated Braille speech and large print package.
And then we have a very short sort of resources section, which really, you know, provides pointers to sort of Brian Hartchen's various projects and ACB Radio, and there's one or two other things on there. And that's the area really that we would like to invest some time in and try and expand to make the screen reader website of interest to more than just users of HAL, but certainly people who've heard about HAL and they've thought, well, you know, I'd maybe download a demo one day perhaps and have a look, and they haven't quite got around to it. They might want to go and have a look at the HAL FAQ first and, you know, see if there are any questions there which they have that we've already answered, and then that might give them more of an idea whether it's worth their while going and installing a demo on their system.
And I suppose one of the good things about this is because you guys don't have any vested interest in talking up HAL, I mean, you don't get money for doing this or anything, you can be absolutely frank about areas where you think there are issues that remain with HAL.
That's correct, but I must say on Dolphin's regard that they have been very supportive with us. If we've had any questions that we've needed to ask, they've been very technical regarding the guts of the product. We've asked and they've come forth with answers in most cases. So that, you know, they don't have anything to do with the FAQ as in putting it together, but they have been very supportive, and you know, I think they do.
But we will, if there's a question there, you know, and somebody says, you know, does, for example, there was a question often asked, you know, what's MSAA and does HAL support it, for example? Well, now there's a basic implementation. In the past, it didn't, and we said, no, it doesn't. And, you know, we're quite frank about how, you know, we're not going to skirt around a question there. We're not in the business of massaging a dolphin's ego. They've got a marketing department to sell the product by, I would think, anyway.
Well, actually,
and,
just before we...
certainly they
Can I just ask you about MSAA? Let me ask you about MSAA before we go on with talk about the FAQ, because as I understand it, Dolphin actually used to wear the fact that they didn't support MSAA as a bit of a badge. I think they took some sort of philosophical decision, did they not, to leave MSAA out.
Isn't there? What's the guy called?
He's a guy from New Zealand, I believe.
Yes, he is. Yep.
Director of one of the Dolphin companies. That was a decision that they made, and I think...
The case for independent screen access, there is a paper, and that outlines their reasons for not supporting it, and we do link to that paper from the FAQ. So.
I personally believe that the decision was a good one in many ways, because it gives us... For example, when Office 97 came out, HAL wasn't relying on MSAA to access it. We had access to products that other readers wouldn't touch because they didn't have MSAA support. And even the internet, if you turn MSAA off on the other screen readers, or the majority of them, you haven't got a chance, whereas HAL, you can, I still maintain, you can get decent access if you configure Internet Explorer and HAL correctly.
Yeah, and some screen reader manufacturers who put their eggs in the MSAA basket have been badly burned. I mean, Internet Explorer 4 came out,
exactly.
Absolute mess for screen readers, and JFW, of course, bypassed MSAA to fix that. Yeah. So it's an interesting discussion, the whole MSAA thing, and really,
I can see where you're sort of going with that, Jonathan, that it's interesting that Dolphin now has suddenly decided that, oh, actually, maybe we should have some MSAA in there.
Sounds like a U-turn.
Yeah, I think it's more a case of not ruling it out. You know, they're saying that, well, you know, we prefer to have independent screen access where possible, but if people want this in the product, then obviously we're going to respond to our users' sort of requirements and needs. And so, as I understand it, in HAL 404, the MSA is very much optional. And in fact, I think even in HAL 404, the MSA component you actually have to install separately. It's not part of the standard installation of HAL. So they're saying, well, you know, MSA is there. HAL will support it in a basic form and probably support it more so in the future. But if you want it, you have to sort of get it. I mean, it's distributed with HAL, but if you want it, you've got to install it yourself.
How often do you maintain or update the FAQ?
That's a very good question. How often do we update the FAQ?
When we first started to do it, it was updated regularly.
About every day, I think. Yeah, it was
every week or so. But in the recent past, anyway, we haven't updated it as often because as new releases of HAL come out, questions need to be altered, and maybe bits need to be taken out, bits need to be put in.
We update it every time Dolphin release an update to the product. I think it's fair to say certainly we respond to that with an update to reflect the new changes. So people who are thinking about upgrading can come and look at the HAL FAQ to find out what's new. And it's just simply there on the web, you know, no difficult sort of web page to navigate or anything. And you can just have a look there on the page. And we'll tell you pretty much within about a week or so of a new release or product coming out. The last update of the HAL FAQ, I think, was it the 21st of November?
That's right.
27th of November, actually. It was. I'm being told here. She's waving at me. The 27th of November was the last update. And we don't have any more updates planned until Dolphin now. Unless, of course, a frequently asked question gets asked.
Mm. Okay, and are you guys on the inside now to the extent that Dolphin might write to you and say, hey, look, we're getting this question coming up quite frequently, and here's the answer, you might want to put it in your FAQ?
Dolphin, it was interesting. We were approached by Dolphin and asked, and I think I can be public about this. We were approached by Dolphin and asked whether or not we would consider allowing Dolphin to distribute the HAL FAQ as part of the HAL documentation, and we said no, we wouldn't, and we haven't heard anything since.
Basically, we didn't want to provide a source of free maintained documentation for them. I mean, at the end of the day, it's up to them to provide decent documentation, and when they do, it would be nice in some ways if we could say we don't need this anymore, but we do.
I would love for Dolphin to take us into their employ and we could write their manuals for them. But I think there are larger issues at stake, and I think followers of the HAL FAQ, we've had over 1,000 hits in the last 3 months, and I think people who come back and who vote for us on the blindness top 10 and everything, I don't think they would appreciate us selling out. I think people would see it, really. And I'm in sort of reasonable employment at the moment, and Martin's at university, so it's not something that's, you know, that's immediately pressing.
It would also perhaps limit your style a little bit. You wouldn't be able to say this feature is absolute rubbish.
Well, that's right. That's right. It certainly would. I think we would then have to sort of toe the Dolphin line, as it were. I don't know that there is a Dolphin line as such, but certainly if we were employed by Dolphin, then obviously we'd be subject to certain terms and conditions, which at the moment we've pretty much got free rein. We can say what we like, we can do what we like, we can close it down tomorrow if we feel like it. That's the nature of the internet FAQ thing. They came of age on Usenet. People write them on a non-profit basis to disseminate useful and informative information, to other users of a similar product. And that is the spirit in which it is written, and if people visit the site, there is a statement about that there.
So is HAL going to version 5 shortly?
I think we're anticipating a version 5 within the next 12 months. Go on, Martin.
I think I'm not quite sure what they're doing. There will be a version 5 soon, I would guess. There are areas which they have to improve on in order to complete still. I believe that the product does still compete. I believe that it's for the user who maybe would want to use unorthodox applications. But I believe that the average user may not wish to buy HAL. He or she may buy something else. So yeah, I believe that the HAL 5 should or is intended to be out in the next, I'd say 6 to 8 months, or say rather than a year.
I think I don't think Dolphin want to rush HAL 5 out, because I think they are aware that in many areas people view HAL as not being as powerful as the other two. But then you do pay the price with the other two. HAL is, what is it, £395, is it?
Absolutely, so yeah, that's with the software synthesizer, Orpheus.
Yeah, and so it is...
Definitely, HAL comes with more inbuilt languages than any other screen reader.
So it's certainly for the foreign markets, but yeah, I don't think HAL 5 is going to be rushed out, but I would be surprised if Dolphin weren't demonstrating it next summer at some of the exhibitions and things that go on. I would think they would want at least a sort of a demo of what HAL 5 is going to be able to do, at least have something to show for next year. I think if they don't, many users are going to say, well, you know, what has Dolphin been doing for the last 12 months?
Well, I would guess there'll be another version of 4 coming out before 5.
Okay. We haven't talked about Orpheus Match, and one of the interesting things about that synthesizer is that it attempts, you might be able to comment on how well it does it, it attempts to allow you to use your speech and other computer sounds even on a single-channel sound card using a special mixer.
That's
kind of
right.
System.
The nice thing about Orpheus is that it does provide the mixer under Windows 95, 98, and I believe Millennium. It also, in the newest version of Orpheus, frees up the sound card once Orpheus has stopped talking to provide standard access.
Instead of through for the regular sounds can get through to the single channel sound card. But yeah, you can mix with Orpheus. Although I wouldn't recommend it on anything less than about a 300 or something. But it works, and I've used it quite successfully. Don't have to now. I've got a Soundblaster Live, so obviously I've got the extra channels there. But certainly, when back in the good old days of my Soundblaster 16, I used to mix and mute with Orpheus.
There you go. Now, obviously, if either of you wants to submit a demonstration of HAL and reviewing, showing off some of its good features, that'd be wonderful. But as we round this particular interview off, just remind us again of how we find the HAL FAQ and the formats that one can download it in.
Okay. Do you want me to take this, Martin?
Yeah, go on.
The HAL FAQ. Okay. The HAL FAQ is available on the web at www.thescreenreader.org.uk. That's www.thescreenreader.org.uk. And you can send email to HALFAQ, that's HALFAQ, at thescreenreader.org.uk if you've got any questions or comments or criticism or feedback, that kind of thing.
Just one more thing. Dolphin are available on www.dolphinusa.com. That's the USA site, so I suppose many listeners to this would want to visit that page. Dolphin USA is one word.
That's right, .com, and of course there are demo versions of, I think, just about everything. There's Lunar Supernova, HAL, the Orpheus synthesizer, and I think also they've got a scanning product, Cicero, that they have a demo of.
They don't have a demo version of that online.
Okay.
Something to do with the way the engine's licensed for that.
Do you know, Jonathan, just out of interest, because I haven't come across anything similar, Supernova, in the one package, is a magnifier and a screen reader. Do you know if there's anything, and also offers sort of Braille access as well, so it's an all-round sort of access solution, if you will. Is there anything else like that out there? That's something that interests me. We seem to take the line in the FAQ that we haven't found anything else like it out there that offers, you know,
large
speech and the large print and the Braille.
And so the fact that you can also customize each of those attributes, large print, speech and Braille, for an application within the one package.
Yeah, I can't say I know of anything that does that.
It does. It does that, yeah.
Yeah, I can't say of anything. I can't say I know of anything that does that.
I know
that.
This is the new Zoom Text has got some limited speech, but it's not a screen reader in the truest sense, really.
No, and it doesn't have Braille. Yeah.
Right.
So there you go.
You can have those three elements all working simultaneously and focused on different areas of the screen.
That's excellent. Well, I'm pleased we've been able to talk about HAL because I've felt a little concerned for some time that we haven't been talking about it. And I'd like to thank you both for being up in the middle of the night in Britain to talk to us. It's been most informative.
Not a problem.